Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome back and happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope everyone is enjoying the weather. Not going to work, hopefully.
Not going to work.
Oh, yeah. You're going to work because you're open every day.
Tourism business. We're open every day.
Every day but two. 2 days, right?
No, actually, it's officially Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day.
Oh, New Year's Day. I didn't remember that one.
Are the official ones. But sometimes we've closed for inventory or Christmas Eve if we're just not feeling it.
If it's pouring down rain sideways.
Yes. If volunteers don't want to come in or something like that. So.
Well,
but the column is open even more. It's only Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, see? Good.
So apparently they're better than the Historical Society.
There we go. And we do have a guest today.
We do. I'm excited.
I have Shelby Gosser. She is the senior clinical educator for Providence Seaside Hospital. Also a friend.
Of course.
And we're going to chat.
Thanks so much.
We're going to chat Girl Scouts, 4-H, Providence, life.
Excellent.
All the things. Animals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Friends because kids play together or friends because grew up together?
You know, I was thinking about this earlier.
Because it's always one of those two things.
Yeah. Was the first, did I meet you at work first? Or I think I met you in the community first.
I think it was a
play group, right?
Like a church play group with babies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that baby Hayes.
Yep. I know. So she has three girls. I have two, and the two are the same age. So,
Four girls the same age and then a fifth.
Yes, true.
Is older or younger?
Actually, she's right in the middle.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So it's really five girls that are all the same age.
Right.
Pretty much.
When you get down to it.
Oh, man. But a lot of strong personalities.
Yes. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
All right. So we should get right to it then, shouldn't we? Of course, well, I do have to give the little brief commercial of Goonies 40th, but Sony endorsed Short Circuit. I said Goonies 40th, didn't I?
You did.
Goonies 41st.
Short Circuit 40th.
Sony endorsed Short Circuit 40th. Johnny Five is here.
I love that. Is he being built? Or is he built yet?
Oh, Sony is loaning us stuff.
Okay.
That's why I have to say Sony endorsed.
Yes.
Because Sony is.
And he comes in one piece?
Yes.
Oh, that's
so
exciting.
There are multiple.
I have to take the kids.
There are multiple things from the movies.
Do you remember the movie?
You know, I do, but it's been
a long time, right? I know.
It's,
I need
it's
to
been
just
at least a week,
haze.
Right?
I need to watch it too.
I think kids could watch it.
I know. Kids. I know. That's. I did that with Goonies, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was
Goonies.
Wrong.
There is one aspect of Short Circuit that has not aged well. It was a casting that the actor would never agree to do that role again, and he's talked about it for 40 years. And producers and other people have agreed that we shouldn't have done that. But other than that, I think it's an okay movie for kids. And I don't know that they'll really pick up on inappropriate casting.
Right. Versus, I mean, the language is fine and the plot is, you know.
All right. So let's move on, though. There's a day in history, things that happen tomorrow, May 25th. And I had a real dilemma on this whole one. And I'll explain it in a moment. So 1721, John Copson becomes America's first insurance agent. 1721.
Wow.
And I wonder if he balked at paying stuff.
Right.
So John Copson.
Interesting.
I want to go find 10 insurance agents and ask if they've ever heard of this guy.
That's interesting. Right.
They
and why his name hasn't stuck around.
He's a trailblazer.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Interesting.
And I want to know what he was insuring.
Right.
So anyway, 1961, JFK asks Congress to support the space program. When he announces to Congress his goal of sending an American to the moon by the end of the decade.
It's pretty cool.
And I meant to write, I don't do a good John F. Kennedy, or else I would have had the whole speech. Because it's good. It's actually a good speech. I bag on JFK for a lot of things, but the space program, you know, I love the space program.
Yeah. Well, and it's so fascinating now.
We choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy. See, I'm kind of more doing FDR.
Yeah.
I don't do a good JFK.
Yeah. Got to work on that.
I do. 1986. Hands Across America. Either one of you participate?
No.
So you were not part of the 6.5 million people that held hands from California to New York. See, my understanding was they didn't actually complete it.
Oh.
That there were big gaps, that they had like ropes or something in the desert, that they didn't actually have every hand holding another hand. I like the idea.
You weren't even alive.
I was one.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, barely.
So you might have participated. You might not know. You might not remember.
I grew up in the country. I'm thinking roads and infrastructure. How do you do that?
Exactly.
How do you really operationalize that?
That's
and then there's
problem.
Just like the planes. Like, really? Are you really going to have people for
Yeah, 500
miles?
And what I would love to see, if you really did it, I would like to like pass a note. And how long would that take?
Or play telephone.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Just give a message. And how long would it take?
6.5
million people to get it from one ocean to the other.
All right.
The stupid things I waste time thinking about. 1989, Mikhail Gorbachev is elected executive president in the Soviet Union. I kind of like him. You have no opinion. Okay.
Yeah.
2020.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It meets my test.
Did you already look this one up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought 2020 you would say that was too soon.
I said 25 years.
2020.
Oh yeah, no, that doesn't work. Yeah, 5 years.
Okay,
six years.
You run.
Yeah,
she's chastised me. If it's not 25 years, she doesn't consider it history.
2020 was such a big year.
I think you will agree, and I think this one will have some longevity.
Okay.
2020, George Floyd is killed by a police officer, igniting historic protests.
Yeah, and the timing couldn't have been worse either, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that was very...
So you're okay with
that? Yeah, I'm okay with that. Uh-huh.
See, I like poking holes in your...
In my theory.
Your theory.
Say 20, yeah. Got to be 25 right. years for history.
So I really...
But it has a historical... It will have a historical impact.
I think it will.
It really will.
Yeah.
I think it will,
And
too.
We've talked about the pandemic in that same light.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know.
Okay, so I went out of order because I so desperately wanted this one to be the history highlight. 1977... Star Wars opens in theaters. I mean, not just an impact.
Did you make that the history highlight?
No, I did not. And I will explain why in just a second. But I first wanted to let you both make fun of me being the geek that I am. Because I actually saw it in the theaters in its first run 11 times.
Oh, my goodness.
I bet they might replay it again.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I say the first run, because they did like, They
recolored it.
They added better special effects, and it was re-released at some point. And I did see it again, but that first summer into the fall and into like Christmas time, I saw it 11 times. So obviously, I think Star Wars had a huge impact beyond just the life of Mac Burns.
Sure, you and a lot of other men out there.
I will accept that.
Yes,
I will accept that 100%. But I had a hard time arguing against 1787, the Constitutional Convention begins.
Yes.
Chaired by George Washington, giving birth to our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and just this fundamental experiment that we are still on 250 years later.
Right.
But Star Wars.
Thank you for making that one, though, the highlight instead of Star Wars.
It was tough. If that one had not been on this day, then hands down, I'm going with Star Wars.
Okay.
But the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, right.
Our
and the conversations that were just starting, too, in those first days. I mean, huge.
Our representative government, our openness to all people should have equal access to things like medical. Or education.
Ooh, there's your transition. You're trying.
Did you like that?
Very, very smooth.
We have Shelby Gosser with us. She's the senior clinical educator with Providence Seaside Hospital, also mother to three lovely young girls. And it lives in Seaside resident. But let's go back. Tell us where you grew up.
Well, I grew up actually in Scappoose, down the river. Yeah. But I have multiple great-great grandparents and uncles that were longtime residents at Astoria, too.
So tell us about that. How did you learn about that history, and who are they? Do you even know their names?
Well, they're like Jack Smith, John Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing too outrageous. I have a distant cousin who's really into genealogy. And we'd always kind of heard about it. And so pulled the documentation and shared it all with us. And two of them were past mayors in the early 19th century of Astoria. And that's always so fun. I've always loved Astoria. And so just always loved being on the coast.
So you're almost like Astoria royalty then.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
Okay. But backing up for a second to Scappoose. Now, how long of your childhood were you in Scappoose for?
So I'm actually the fourth generation that grew up on a family farm. That was from direct descendants of who would have been the mayor of Astoria. They bought a farm during the Depression in Scappoose. And the rumor was because Grandpa didn't like the rations. And so they wanted their own animals so that they could have their own cream and butter and things like that. And so it was a multi-generational farm that ended with cottonwood trees. What was their last crop they had. But my parents still live there and we still go and visit all the time.
Is it the same house?
No.
Okay. So
it is actually the original garage is the same building, but the house was burned and then eventually different outbuildings, you know, weren't meant to last 100 years, honestly. And so they built a beautiful timber frame house. It's right there on the river.
Oh, beautiful. So the only thing I know about Scappoose, besides it's fun to say, is Betsy Johnson.
Right.
So that's all I got. Do you know Betsy?
You know, I have met her a few times.
Yeah. And there are some other notables aside from Shelby Gosser. But yes, there are some other. I mean, there are some other people that have come out of Scappoose.
Well, the most recent one, there was a football player who became a quarterback.
I'm trying to think of his name.
Derek.
I know. Did he go to Oregon State? I don't remember.
He was a Duck and then played professionally. I don't even remember the team.
I know.
But he was a professional quarterback for 10 years. I know.
Excellent.
We can't go anywhere. So, we can't go anywhere with that one.
So before you drop that,
I was
going to say, so all I can ask about is, like, talk about growing up in Scappoose and what are some of your favorite places, or are there still things that you remember from your childhood that instead of us just driving through it, we should actually stop and enjoy or look at?
Right. No, I love Scappoose. For me, it was the family farm. It was lots of acreage on the river with trees and lots of good stuff. But Scappoose, it's a wonderful small community. It's kind of grown up, though. It's really become more of a suburban outpost of Portland. A lot of people commute in to Intel and to other big communities because it's gotten better. The housing prices aren't quite as much as they sure would, but it's still quite pricey. And so traffic's kind of increased, but it's a beautiful kind of, a lot of outdoorsmen live there because you have the river, the Columbia River Slough, and then the Savi Island right on the other side of it. Lots of mountains, lots of timber towns, and lots of great outdoor things in the community. It's just wonderful.
What's the deal with that big candle thing that looks like a firecracker, but I think it's a candle?
It is supposed to be, I think, the world's largest peace candle.
Oh.
Somebody just built it as a, built it as a passion project, and they've just.
And it's still there.
It's still there. Where I like to go shopping is Means Plant Nursery. It's massive, and that's their massive growing area, and they have a wonderful public community store that if you need to buy a lot of plants at a good price, it's worth going there.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes, like a ton of work. If you need to buy quite a few, it would be worth the drive.
See, it's worth it just to be able to say, well, I'm going to go to the garden store in Scappoose.
Yes.
Because it's fun to say.
So I know your oldest daughter is very much into animals. Mm-hmm. Did that start, were you the same growing up since you were on a farm? No. So where did where did that come from?
I don't know. Guess that's just how she was born. So we always had dogs, you know, everybody has a dog, right? She's just loves her 4-H animals, all of them. So
tell us how you got involved with 4-H.
Well, it started during COVID, actually. We were all having to shelter in place, and I wanted some sort of normalcy and some structure for my girls. And so started a 4-H club and a Girl Scout troop. And they kind of became our families that we sheltered in place with, too, as we were able to go out now. And it just has become kind of a core learning testament and community center for my family, and have met so many wonderful people, and So wonderful. Both of them are wonderful organizations.
So how do you start both of those from scratch instead of joining somebody else that's already doing it?
Well, the reason I started, it wasn't my first choice to start it. It was because it was the height of the pandemic. We were just getting started. And so we had, I cobbled enough between my daughters. I had three. And cobbled enough other friends that were into it. And they have very clear organization processes. And of course, you know, background checks and all of the things to be able to start it. And just followed their mapping within their kind of at that point, whatever COVID rules were. And as it evolved, as the girls got older, it's just been a wonderful event.
We're kind of going a little out of order too, because I want to go back to Scappoose. So at what time when you were growing up, did you think about what career you were going to go into?
Oh, I still remember I was reading the newspaper because everybody had the newspaper then. I was in high school and it was about there was a OHSU nursing strikes. And it was kind of the first time I thought about what a nurse does. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, actually. But for me, it was a lot more about, oh, I like the idea of 3 12-hour shifts. And that's a full-time work. And then 4 days a week and go and do whatever you want. And so lucky for me, it just wound up being a wonderful career field because you can jump around and move around and everything. But I realized it was started in high school. I wanted to go ahead and get into nursing school more because it had I always knew I wanted a family. So I knew it would have flexibility. I could morph it and change it. But I always appealed to not being in front of a computer all day and to have more flexibility with my time.
So where did you end up going to school and getting that education?
Yeah, I went to Oregon Health Science University down in the Ashland campus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was one down there.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever been to Ashland, it's beautiful.
Yes.
And so they have 4 different nursing schools and Ashland is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Or you'd want to go with for an 18-year-old girl. And so that's where I went to school. And then I worked for a few years there and they actually have a Providence down in Medford. And I started as a student nurse there and just wound up kind of falling in love with it immediately and wound up staying with Providence the whole time.
So if there's somebody out there with a child that's in high school and they express interest in being a nurse, what classes or things should they do to make that decision whether they want to pursue that?
Well,
are there classes they should be taking
or
internships or things like that? What should they be doing?
Yep. They should be doing anything to get out there to talk with people and take science classes. A lot of local high schools and community groups have high school internship programs. Seaside does. Seaside High School does. The hospital does it. And just start interviewing people. I mean, that's ask to take them out for a cup of coffee. The schoolwork isn't horrifically arduous. You have to be able to graduate and pass in any science-based classes, and then you can get into a good nursing program right off the bat. But mostly it would just be talking to people, making sure it's a good fit. What we see with a lot of the young nurses that are graduating is that many of them just didn't realize you have to still talk to people. Like you have to talk to patients.
What are they expecting?
I think it was a White Castle moment and just didn't really think about it. And that sometimes, you know, we're in a drunk tank. Sometimes people make really poor decisions and we're in a hospital and we help them as we can. But sometimes we're still making poor decisions and we still have to engage and have good, clear communication and still work with people.
I feel like somebody we interviewed once in the medical profession used the phrase that you're seeing people on their worst day. So is that true? Or are you also seeing them on their best days?
Well, I think I'd say more worst days than least days. Nobody wants to go to the hospital. And there's different kinds of nursing. So I'm definitely looking at it through the lens of an acute care hospital setting, which is where the majority of my career has been. But it could be their best days if you were
giving birth,
right? There's clinic settings.
Says
where
the guy.
I know. Yeah.
Before both of you glare at me, I get that. I 100% get that.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody here knows how complicated healthcare is and the entire system of navigation. And so we are helping and trying to see through kind of a broken system on people with their worst days. And so that's where I see nurses, the new nurses struggling the most is the reality that you can be the best nurse ever and have the best team. It's still a really challenging healthcare field out there. And there's really no magic bullet out there.
And the resources beyond medical yes. are sometimes hard to find yes. too. So you can have the best medical team, mm-hmm. But the person might need more than that. I certainly think, I mean, even in your time, I mean, in 20 years, so much of that has changed
yep.
with the people coming through our doors. Why is that? What is the difference in why that's happening? I don't know that you know the answer. I mean, no, you don't know the answer. Shelby's like,
I know that's a big one.
Yeah. Solve healthcare in the next 8 minutes.
Well, fiddlesticks.
Okay, we can come back to that one on another episode.
So how did you end up back here? I mean, was that a choice? Was that a...
I was working as a travel nurse. Mm-hmm. Working as a travel nurse, I always had deep family ties to the North Coast. We always had, you know, like a vacation house or something up here. And I just loved it. And I started Providence Medford, and I was traveling throughout their ERs, working as the ER nurse, and did a summer in Seaside. And why would you not love it? And so I just loved it. And I stayed there. And then I wound up meeting my husband, who's very, very local, Clatsop County, multi-generations. And so that's why we stayed here and then chose to raise our family here.
She met a boy.
Yep. So talk a little bit about being a traveling nurse, because I'm a little fascinated that... Are things that uniform that you can shift from one facility to the next? Yeah. It seems like
you should.
It should be, yeah. Well, I almost picture like, do doctors or administrators have different styles that we do it this way here? Yeah. That how can it be that uniform that it's an easy fit?
Well, this was almost 20 years ago. So healthcare was different. The majority of my time was spent in the emergency room, where it is actually very uniform. You tend to treat a heart attack the exact same way. And that's kind of across all ERs. You treat a precipitous birth the exact same way. And then I was working within the Providence ER. So the charting was the same. All the kind of the navigation system was the same. So it was pretty easy actually to jump around.
I think jumping from one organization to another is where you could see.
It's the charting changes. System and then the medication dispensing systems that are the most complicated to kind of figure out. But they're the same process within the same organization usually.
Federal regulations are pretty strict with healthcare maybe, disbursement.
Maybe a good thing for something.
I think it is. Yes.
It's a very good thing.
I want to know I'm going to be treated really well.
Right.
So talk to us about what are the ties now that keep you here? What are some of the things that you just love to do that is very unique to this area?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's all about raising my girls and then my husband, right? And so I was really conscious about wanting this community, a smaller town community, a small place that had a hospital where I can work at, and then a great school system, all within the same small area. And so what I love about Seaside in Clatsop County is we have so much beautiful natural beauty everywhere. For me, I love the weather. I don't like the heat. So it works beautifully for me. I like a little bit of we have the deep history that we have here. I love the history of Astoria. There's so many exciting things to do. I think it's a wonderful place to raise a family. This is a really strong community. You just have to kind of get out there, put yourself out there. And there's every opportunity for everybody. But then also I find the barrier is low to still have a lot of fun and to really get involved with the community that we plan to stay here forever. We love it.
I choose to ignore the comma that I know I heard, but I like when you began that. It was to raise my three girls. Oh,
right.
And my husband.
I mean, aren't we all raising our husbands too?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So talk a little bit about your title. When we introduced you, has the word educator in that. Mm-hmm. So what do you do now? What is your current job? Are you three 12-hour days and you have 4 days?
No. After I had the third one, I dropped down to halftime. So I work half the time. And a lot of it is supporting the new hires, but mostly there's a lot of regulatory stuff we have to do and maintaining and showing improving competency. So you graduate nursing school, and some nurses graduated nursing school that are working in 1985. Right? What we learned in 1985 is very different on best practice on how we care for patients and with technology and medication has changed. And so we have to prove and maintain competency for then the regulating agencies that Providence is part of.
So explain the process too, because I always find this interesting is nurses always work for a nurse, right? Or report to a nurse.
You don't have to work for a nurse, but for the leader, the boss. So like when nurses have reported to me, that counts for me still being as a nurse. But if I go and say I manage physical therapists, that actually does not count as working for a nurse because I'm not managing nurses.
Right.
I, as a nurse, if I'm a bedside nurse, I can report to anybody. I can report to a doctor, but they can't breathe into my individual nursing license.
Got it.
Does that make sense? But if I'm managing anybody, I have to have nurses reporting to me unless, you know, I could be managing McDonald's, but that's not nursing. And then that I have to recertify my nursing license every 2 years and you have to prove you're working as a nurse to maintain your license.
And then is it your license that holds that competency then for the people below you?
Ultimately, you're always responsible for your own license.
Okay.
But the hospital, if you're hiring, like we hire a group of nurses and we say, yes, they're independent to be competent. We have a process and documentation that we want to prove competency. And if we don't, that puts us in danger. But ultimately, we're always responsible. So if I go and give a terrible medication error to a patient, okay, I would be liable for myself that I would not be doing a good nursing for my own licensing. But if the hospital did not prove I was competent at that point, I would, or never proved competent, never checked I was competent, so that would also could potentially open them up for liability. So that's why we have to prove competency and maintain it.
So talk really briefly, what's the craziest modernization or change in the 20 years that you've been doing this that, if you could talk to you 20 years ago, you'd say you're never going to believe what's going to come up in 20 years.
Oh, man. I guess AI and how we're seeing it apply right off the bat. And then, the medications have changed so much and they're so complicated and we have to be so careful with all of it and all the tools, the technology piece of it is.
Is it actually new medicine?
Some of it is new. I mean, think about oncology nursing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, right. Very complicated new meds all the time. Very complicated drips, very intense. And then it's very specific on how it's administered. And if you don't do it correctly, you can really cause severe damage or death. And so I think that's been a huge change. But still, the professionalism nursing is still, I think, the core of it's the same. And then really, if I could encourage anybody, is still to continue. We just learning how to communicate well and directly, and even those uncomfortable conversations. But
Shelby actually teaches a class. I teach a class with her, too. She teaches several. And one of them is about how to have uncomfortable conversations. Yeah. And the acronym is CUSS.
CUSS, yes. I want you to cuss.
And you cuss out your colleague.
Yeah.
And you say it. I'm going to cuss you out.
Yeah.
And it stands for,
I am concerned. Oh. This is unsafe. This is a safety issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so it's kind of like it breaks the ice a little bit too, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're saying something that can be kind of light, but then it precipitates something that's all very serious.
Nice.
Yeah.
So make the prediction. What's going to be radically different in 20 Ooh. Years?
Oh, goodness, man. Insurance.
Oh,
better or worse?
Yeah.
I think it's going to get totally flipped on its head because the system is so broken and we're going to follow the money. There's so many providers who are so unhappy. And that's what I want to see changed. It's the whole process around insurance and insurance reimbursements. I think we're going to see some big changes around that.
See, we could have another show on that one, too.
We can. Okay. So we need to have you booked for 20 years from now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful.
We'll be back. Well, thank you, Shelby. I so appreciate your time. It's a pleasure working with you and, of course, raising our girls together, too. So
thanks
glad
for
you're in the
me.
Community.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and also streaming live at KMUN.org.